WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This year, flu season will collide with the COVID-19 pandemic. With so many symptoms that overlap, we want to understand how to tell the difference between COVID-19, the flu, and let's throw the common cold in there too. The CDC also revised COVID-19 guidelines this week based on new information about how the virus spreads and how to protect yourself and others. Joining us to get us up to speed is Dr. Priya Nori, an associate professor of infectious disease specialist at Montefiore Health System. Dr. Nori, thank you for helping us out today.
Hi, Allison. Thank you for having me.
So many of the symptoms of COVID and the flu are similar, but what common symptoms do we know that are particularly unique to COVID?
Yeah, great question. So in several ways, COVID and flu are similar, and it's hard to tell the difference. But in several important ways, COVID really has the medical community spooked. And it has behaved in a way that has previously been unheard of for respiratory viruses. And so these are things like causing really prolonged symptoms for weeks beyond the initial viral infection, causing blood clots in arteries and veins that likely affect some of these long hauler symptoms that we hear about, people's inability to get back on their feet, feeling just so tired for so long, having it affect the function of their heart and lungs long term, even the fogginess of their brain that persists for a long time. COVID also causes in some people a profound hypoxemia, which is a lack of oxygen to their vital organs. And again, this plays out not only in the very critical illness that we see in some hospitalized COVID patients in their second, third, fourth weeks of illness, but also some of these long hauler symptoms that we see people struggling with for weeks to even months after the illness. So that's from an individual patient perspective. From a public health perspective, there are also several really outside the box and spooky things about COVID. Mm-hmm. So compared to flu, which has a fairly predictable seasonality, when the weather gets colder and stays cold for many months in a row, that's when we tend to see flu causing the most damage, the most number of infections in the community, and even hospitalizations. For COVID, though, while initially there was some speculation that the warm weather might change the pattern or might mitigate it in some way, that absolutely did not play out in that during the summer, while the Northeast was getting their virus under control and were settling at a more low-grade level of activity down in the South, so the deep parts of the South that are very warm over the summer, we saw them surging out of control with very high numbers, very high prevalence, meaning that the percentage of their positive tests was concerningly high. And this seemed to have no relation to the very warm weather. This is likely related to a lot of the public health measures that kind of fell apart. So society opening back up, mm-hmm. lack of consistent emphasis on masking and social distancing. And so, of course, it's hard to separate all of these factors from each other, but, you know, it truly did not go away in the warm months. And we saw that play out, unfortunately, very badly.
With, you know, everybody should understand that you're not necessarily giving specific advice. I do want to put that out there. But are there certain symptoms of COVID which are uniquely COVID as opposed to sort of having a commonality? And what are the more dangerous ones, the ones which you think, yes, you should go to the doctor even out of an abundance of caution, even if you think you're being a hypochondriac?
Yeah, absolutely. So while the fevers, the intense fatigue, the body aches are very similar between flu and COVID, some of these more troubling or COVID-specific symptoms include things like just a severe chest pressure, a severe dry cough that just won't subside, and a drop in your blood oxygen level. And so these are the symptoms that we worry about as physicians. These are the symptoms that we keep track of in our patients who call us about concerning symptoms or may even test positive. And these are the ones that we say, okay, give me your numbers day after day after day. If it's dropping to a level that I don't like, if you're unable to breathe, if you feel that you cannot get oxygen all the way into your lungs, this is a time to go to the hospital and receive some of these newer antiviral medications, to receive steroids intravenously, because these are the medications that you can't necessarily receive at home. And these are the ones that have been shown to be pretty effective in reducing illness in patients who are severe enough where their oxygen levels drop, where their chest films look like they have bilateral pneumonia. So all of these things definitely make a difference. And these are the symptoms that doctors like to keep track of to advise their patients appropriately.
My guest is Dr. Priya Nori, an associate professor and infectious disease specialist at Montefiore Health System. We're talking about cold, COVID and flu and cold. So when I went to get my flu shot, the doctor said, we know what the flu does, and we think we know what COVID does. We don't know what COVID and the flu do, so get your flu shot. That was his advice to me. Can you get flu and COVID at the same time, from what we know?
That's a great question, Allison. You certainly can get flu and COVID at the same time. We don't have a lot of data on this, but originally when the virus emerged in China, in that time of the year, there were what we call co-infections with both COVID and flu, in that patients tested positive for both. Back then, it wasn't entirely clear what symptoms and what part of the illness was due to which virus. And now that we understand a little bit more the specific features of COVID, the things like blood clots and, you know, the profound drop in oxygen levels, likely heavier contribution from COVID. Not to say that the flu in itself cannot cause severe lung damage. It's just that it's been one of the things that are real takeaway messages from COVID. So you can totally be infected with both. It's just that we have not truly seen the impact of that just yet, but one can only imagine. They both cause severe damage and inflammation to the lungs in the most severe cases. So we can only guess that infection with both at the same time can enhance the effects of each virus to the point where maybe that patient may not necessarily survive. One shared aspect of COVID and influenza are that the same populations tend to be vulnerable right to the most severe illness. And so just imagine if an elderly patient, if a cancer patient, someone with an organ transplant were to contract both COVID and flu at the same time, the impact can truly be devastating and lead to mortality in some cases. Thankfully, there are, as far as testing, there are now testing platforms that can actually pick up both viruses and several others. So something important for your audience, who is, I'm guessing, predominantly in New York State, is that as of late August and September, the New York State Department of Health actually mandates that any patient presenting to any healthcare setting with symptoms of a viral respiratory illness needs to get tested for both influenza and SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that causes COVID. So what these companies that make these PCR tests, or the tests of the genetic material of the viruses, they quickly pivoted to making tests that you can use to diagnose either or both viruses at the same time. So this is definitely a step in the right direction and will be tremendously helpful as we go forward into the fall and winter months. Patients are coming in with fevers and respiratory symptoms, and it's very important to understand, well, which one is it? The implications can be vastly different. The treatment, the isolation recommendations, and just and the fact that, you know, for one virus, there are treatments. There are treatments you can take at home, like antivirals for flu. There is a tried and true vaccine that everyone absolutely should be getting right now if they haven't already. Mm-hmm. So that distinction is hugely important to patients and to public health.
In our final moment, I want to just run down some of the CDC guidelines. Are we still at 6 feet? What's the deal on surface transmission? And has anything changed radically in the past 8 months in terms of prevention?
Great question, Allison. Thank you. So 6 feet for sure. Absolutely 6 feet. In fact, the CDC finally actually recognizes the fact that airborne transmission may also be possible. For the most part, COVID is transmitted between individuals by a respiratory droplet route, which means that these are medium-sized infected particles that hang in the air for some time, but with either humidity or just weight, they'll drop to surfaces or drop into people's mouths and eyes and noses. However, there's a definite contribution from these smaller particles that are infected and travel huge distances in the air, and they're saying even possibly beyond 6 feet. So, you know, that 6 feet rule is a very good rule to adhere to, because we've shown that with these public health interventions like universal masking, social distancing, these are, I can't even emphasize how effective these are. These are more effective than any drug that we've come out with, any treatment, any cocktail. Nothing so far is as effective as the distancing plus the masks, plus the use of outdoor space, plus not gathering in large groups, effective ventilation from outside to in. All of these tried and true mechanisms that are extremely low budget are the best thing that we have to date.
And now we just all have to comply. My guest is Dr. Priya Noorian, associate professor and infectious disease specialist at the Montefiore Health System. Dr. Noori, thank you so much for being with us.
Allison, thank you so much. Love the show.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.